annual level of any one-year span since measurements began in 1957. For WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin.
Good afternoon, this is the Shai Rana Show with your host Zain Al-Amin. This is a show that focuses on Arab culture and politics, and it airs every Wednesday for 1 hour at WPFWFM.org and WBAI-FM.
I don't know how much more a body can hold before it forgets it was meant for living, and I think of that when someone says hope is naive. And I have questions, not the kind you answer though, the kind that ruins small talk, kind you fold up, put in your pocket, and hope no one asks for. Like, how does a child learn his name if everyone who spoke it is gone? And how does a father choose which son to bury when the ground cannot take them all? And what happens to a yell that never makes it past the ceiling? And if hope is naive, then tell me what else is left for the ones who keep breathing? My love, the heart is the last unoccupied country. Every revolution begins there. I asked a girl, what do you dream of? And she says, a chair that waits for me, even when I'm late. And if heaven is real, then to meet my friend at the gate. And I remember the stories we carry, a mother teaching her child a lullaby she knows will outlive her, and a boy who carries pieces of his sibling in a bag, saying, he is not heavy, he is my brother. So when they ask where heaven was, I'll say in the march of the people, because far from here a shore is burning, and far from here men dig with their wedding rings, and far from here the hospital is torn, and time is measured in how long blood stays warm. But you want numbers though, huh? So did you know that the human body holds about 5 liters of blood, and it takes only one to keep a child alive? And did you know bones break more easily after too many nights without sleep? And did you know that the tongue heals faster than skin, so even the body knows that we have to speak? And did you know that the heart beats 100,000 times a day without once asking for permission? I don't know how much more a body can hold before it forgets it was meant for living, and I think of that when someone says hope is naive. My love, we don't need bridges, gardens, or cities. We need hope, and hope that feels hungry, so when the bridge is taken, remember the heart is the last unoccupied country.
Force. What does it say about Israeli society?
I think that Israeli society, I've said it for many years, I think it's a lunatic society. People try to avoid that fact. If you take somebody like Bernie Sanders, he started off terrible the first couple of months on Gaza, and then he got quite good. I had very little problem with him except for one thing. He kept saying the problem is Netanyahu.
Right.
The problem is Netanyahu. That's not true. Even Netanyahu made the point in his UN speech. He says, everybody blames me for not wanting a Palestinian state. He said in the UN speech. But he said, you know what? He said, last week, he said there was a vote in the Knesset whether you oppose or support a Palestinian state. He said there are 120 members of the Knesset. Do you know how many support the Palestinian state? He said, correctly, 9. Over 90% agree with me. The problem is not me. This is what we all agree on. That's true. Israeli society, a poll taken probably about 4 or 5 months ago now, showed that 47% of Israeli Jews, 47%, support a genocide in Gaza. It wasn't an ambiguous question. You said, well, genocide, you know, can mean many things. No, they were asked a very simple question. When the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, when they enter a city, should they kill everybody in the city? That was literally the question that was posed to them. Should you kill everybody in the city? 47% said yes.
That's a stunning number.
Then, a few weeks later, there was a question, because Israelis are the most polled people on earth. So a few weeks later, after that 47%, there was a question put to Israeli society in general. Are there any innocents in Gaza? Are there any innocents in Gaza? 62% said no. And then, if you factor out the 20% of Israelis who are not Jewish, it's a 70%.
Wow.
Say there are no innocents in Gaza from age zero on up.
Good afternoon. This is Zain El-Amin with the Shai Rana Show. What you just heard is first a poem by Hanin that I play to set my intentions every day about what's going on. It's a gorgeous, cathartic experience to hear that poem. If there's anything that can be called gorgeous at this in this horror. The other clip that you heard is Norman Finkelstein explaining why does he think that the Israeli society is a lunatic society. Of course, it doesn't need much proof these days, and because for 2 years people have seen the bloody deeds and have seen poll after poll saying that the majority of Israelis living in Israel that are polled think that the population of Gaza should be eliminated. In essence, the children, the descendants of the final solution, are calling for a final solution on another people, a Semitic people at that. So with that, I wanted to just update you on some news, some of the highlights that have been in terms of the been circulating, in terms of the biggest pieces of news. Of course, since the last program of Chayanana that I had, of course, there's been what's so-called a ceasefire. But anybody who's paying attention knows that ceasefires don't mean anything to the Israelis. And they are definitely, everybody that is in the know knows they're going to break that ceasefire. They're going to come up with an excuse. The excuse that they came up with is that there had been an agreement to return the bodies of what they refer to as hostages, for several hostages. And they're saying that not all of the dead hostages, and remember that Israel killed their own hostages too, and that's recorded, even ones that had escaped and raised a white flag, if you remember, the three Israelis that were shot by the IDF. So they're saying that Hamas has not returned all the dead bodies, and they know well why, because Israel had, of course, if you've seen any pictures, had turned the place to rubble, and it'll be very hard to basically find all these dead bodies. So they're, you know, we knew that they were going to look for an excuse and make it impossible to comply with the terms, and use that excuse to basically sabotage the ceasefire. And they have, and they're still killing Gazans. They're still bombing. You know, they're continuing with their, because what's important for them, as experts have been saying, is that they want to reduce the population of the Palestinians, which were on par with the Israeli citizens, so that they are a minority. And the estimated numbers that of the dead are going to be not this 60,000 that have been killed, but rather more like in the hundreds of thousands, right now it would be easy to say it's going to exceed 120,000, even according to the most conservative estimates by Israel, Israel itself. So that's one thing. The other thing, the mass media doesn't seem to let go of this issue in terms of the verbal acrobatics that have they employ in order to confuse people about the facts, and also to skew things where the oppressor is the oppressed and the oppressed is the oppressor. And one of the things that they did to the T, every mainstream news organizations reported the hostages held, the thousands of hostages that were held by Israel, including many women and children. About, I believe it's about 850 women and children, with no trial. That those are, they refer to them as prisoners, and then they refer to the Israeli hostages as hostages. Although some of them are prisoners of war, they are soldiers. So the reason for that is when you refer to Palestinians as prisoners, you are insinuating that they are criminals. And that's what CNN is has the biggest blame for this. They've been very consistent with the skewing of the truth. But all major mainstream media outlets have done this. Secondly, now we are seeing, you know, when we talk about Israel as a lunatic society, this is we've had the takeover of CBS, which, by the way, includes 60 Minutes, by Barry Wise, who actually, when she headed up the Free Press, they're the ones that were trying to say that many of the pictures that we saw of the starving children and babies, that these people had pre-existing conditions. And by the way, that included pre-existing conditions like head concussions caused by Israeli bombing. And it's one of the most disgusting articles that came out, talking about how trying to prove that there is no starvation happening in Gaza. And they used 12 cases out of the thousands to try to prove that. And of course, it's been dispelled by every human rights organization. And recently, it has been also like people are John Oliver did an amazing piece. He's the opposite of Bill Maher. He did an amazing piece that basically ends Barry Wise's career. And unfortunately, it will end her career eventually. But she is the, we've had basically Zionist money going into buying her Free Press for $150 million. This poor example of journalism. So that they can give her CBS so that she can have control over CBS, which, by the way, nobody listens to CBS anymore, and especially the youth, you know, they don't listen to it. So, and its ratings have been falling, and they fall further, judging from the ratings of the Free Press itself. And one of the facts that came out by UNRWA, the UN refugee organization, that just came out, that not only are there hundreds of thousands have been killed, but just, you know, there are 15,000 amputations in Gaza, and 4,000 of these amputations due to bombing have been children. 4,000 have been children. That's so far. The count is going to go higher. So imagine that Israel, with its bombing, dismembered basically 4,000 children and 15,000 citizens. That 4,000 is included in the 15,000. And the other thing I wanted to, just on a local level, it's really interesting how, on the one hand, AIPAC has lost a lot of credibility, and the polls show that the majority of Americans across the political spectrum are against this genocide and are against Israel itself, especially when it comes to the youth, vote. And one thing I wanted to mention before we go to our next clip is that you see somebody like Graham Platner, who we've talked about in this show and shared an interview with him, somebody who refuses to take AIPAC money. He's a Democrat. He's a working class Democrat. He is an oyster fisherman. He said that he wants to focus on shifting resources from going to war and bombing hospitals and schools in Gaza to building hospitals and schools in Maine. That's the kind of politics that made Zohran Mamdani popular, and is so. What happens, the Democratic Party, what do? When they see this guy, Graham Platner, who's getting popular and who is saying the things that are moving people, he's recruiting 300 volunteers to his campaign per week, 300 volunteers per week. And his rallies are something resembling what the Bernie popular rallies, that kind of size that's happening. So what does the Democratic Party do? Do they follow the example because it's successful? No, they cannibalize their own people for the sake of Israel. Because the Democratic Party in general, the vast majority of the Democratic Party, with the exception to a handful of congressmen and senators, is Israel first. So what do? They run a 78-year-old woman by the name of Janet Mills against this 40-some-year-old, dynamic, brilliant, and working-class conscience person. They run a Democrat that is a Zionist because they're afraid of Platner, who was actually served in the military, several tours in the military. He's an oyster man. He's a working class Mainer who's seen that the state has become unlivable for working people and wants to and has been angry about that and wants to change it. And Maine, which is 30%. Republican, 30% Democrat, 30% independent. He's drawing people from across the board. So that's what the Democratic Party. Later, we'll hear more about the Democratic Party heroes, so to speak, like Obama, how he's betrayed his own causes now. But for now, we're going to go to a piece that I think is the best piece, a must-listen from Double Down News. This is Loki talking about what does this ceasefire really mean? What's behind the ceasefire and how we should think about the next steps? So let's listen to Loki talking about the ceasefire in Gaza.
Been announced by US President Donald Trump to bring a cessation of Israel's genocidal military campaign in Gaza. But let's be clear, Israel has broken every single ceasefire agreement it has ever had with any state ever. This will be no different. However, what has happened during this period of time is Israel has brought itself directly into an antagonistic conflict with the vast majority of humanity through its genocidal actions in Gaza. When people are seeing on a daily basis children killed on their phones, they have gone away to try and understand what could the cause of this be? What is the ideological underpinning of all of this killing and murder? And that has led them to the ideology of Zionism. In the United States, you see stalwart supporters of Israel on the right wing side of the equation turning against Israel and turning against Zionism in large numbers.
Is the media totally presenting the truth when it comes to Israel? Just a question.
See that. If you can't say that and need all your responses, Israel has the right to defend itself. Like, what are you talking about? Against what? Children?
I would literally rather saw off my own foot than support Israel ever again, by the way. Never supporting that demonic nation ever again. That's like, I am so off that train. It's crazy.
I feel like America is just like, it feels like we're just owned by Israel, you know? And we just never knew it.
I thought we owned them.
That's what I thought.
Uh-oh.
Bibi's running around. This is a fact. I'm not guessing about this. He's running around the Middle East, his region, and his own country, and telling people point blank, just stating it, I control the United States. I control Donald Trump. It's too humiliating. I can't handle that.
Israel has woken the world to the horrors of the Zionist project practiced upon Palestinians, and people will never go to sleep again. But also, the story of Palestine is not simply a story of unchecked Zionist power. Actually, it's the story of a refusal to die. The Palestinians have not been defeated. In fact, they are victorious. Palestine was supposed to die in 1948. It didn't. Palestine was supposed to die across the last 2 years in Gaza. It didn't. The Palestinian resistance has taken its place alongside the Viet Cong in Vietnam, the French resistance in World War II, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, the heroes of the Irish who refused to bow to 800 years of British colonialism, and all free people of the world, the majority of humanity, support the Palestinians' right to armed resistance as an occupied people. So what do we see today? We see Spain, which has a history of warm relations with Israel, now engaging in a full arms embargo with the Zionist entity. You have Greece and Italy brought to a full standstill by unions in those countries, refusing to cooperate with government diktats vis-a-vis the Zionist entity. You see the majority of states in the world taking positions in the United Nations, which are at odds with Israel. The victory that this represents is that Israel's genocide is having to disguise itself and hide in bureaucratic violence. It is no longer able to pursue this genocidal war in the naked way it was before, and with the support of key propagandists that it could rely on for many decades previously. When you look at this recent peace deal, what has been agreed upon is not the full withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza. Instead, what you have is the vague promise of an agreement by Donald Trump, acting as the guarantor of this deal, that Israel will withdraw to particular points within Gaza, the specifics to be agreed upon at a later date. In addition to the release of 20 Israeli prisoners of war and captives within Gaza, in exchange, there should be around 2,000 Palestinian prisoners released, with several hundred of them those who received life sentences. What you also have is Israel now obligated to allow the delivery of around 600 trucks of aid daily. Implicit within that is the acknowledgement that Israel has been using food as a weapon of war. That is a key characteristic of genocide. The people of Gaza are celebrating a ceasefire agreement which could finally offer them respite from the daily bombings of every single hospital in the Strip, from an entity that left children on incubators to later be discovered by a journalist. What happened to the journalist that made that discovery? Mohammed Baalushi, that discovered the rotted corpses of babies. Eventually he himself was killed too. The reverberations of Gaza and Israel's genocidal campaign there will be felt for decades to come. Those reverberations have entailed the changing of laws in other countries, the imprisoning of 33 political prisoners in this country now for their refusal to allow genocide to take place on their watch. The arresting of blind protesters for holding placards with words on them. The arresting of a young man for holding a magazine which has these now criminal words printed on the cover of it. This is the authoritarianism that Israel's genocide has unleashed on the rest of the world. We have seen heroic support from billions of people across the world to the people of Gaza. We have seen people from wide and far cling onto the hands of those in Gaza and refuse to let them go. But what we have also seen is an unprecedented servility among the political classes of the world who have been materially involved in this genocide in Gaza. Do not allow them to rewrite history. Already you have Israel lobby-backed politicians like John Ashworth coming on TV and trying to claim.
And I've wanted to see a ceasefire for 2 years. I think there is a role that the Labour government has played in this as well. Remember, Labour has done what it can diplomatically.
Simply not true. The UK has been a party to this genocide by sending RAF spy flights, R1 shadow planes over the top of Gaza on an almost daily basis. Even in the hours around the killing of three former UK military personnel in Gaza. Over the next few months, they will try and tell you that the war is over. Genocide in new clothes. They will try to assure you that there are legal processes playing out to establish the facts of what did and what didn't happen in Gaza. Do not allow them to treadmillize you and to nullify your aversion to this human suffering. Do not allow them to demobilize you. Now is not the time to retreat. Now is the time to escalate. Over the last 2 years, there have been very, very, very few news organizations that have actively investigated and covered the genocide in Gaza in a serious way that will stand the test of time. I would say that Double Down News has delivered a pioneering service to humanity during that period. So please do support them on Patreon in any way that you can.
And that was Loki talking about what's the real truth behind the Gaza ceasefire. I would encourage you to follow Double Down News for updates on the ceasefire. It's the best analysis out there, along with the analysis that's being provided by Dropsite and specifically by Ryan Grimm, who's been incredible, doing incredible stuff, because he actually is in direct contact with the Palestinian people on the ground. We're going to hear a piece about by Sabi Sabs that is addressing why did Obama face backlash in the past week, and face backlash even from one of the kindest women in the world, Miss Rachel, who runs a children's program and who's been supporting these injured Gazan children and has stood on the right side of history, while Obama has switched sides, going, and this will be apparent, switching from the right side of history to the wrong side of history. So let's have a listen to Obama facing backlash.
I told you that Van Jones was not having a good week. Now he's on his second not good week. Barack Obama is not having a good week. Not having a good week after a recent statement that he made that even has Miss Rachel coming after Barack Obama. Let's see what he said. Oh boy. After 2 years of unimaginable loss and suffering for Israeli families and the people of Gaza, we should all be encouraged and relieved that an end to the conflict is within sight, that those hostages still being held will be reunited with their families, and that vital aid can start reaching those inside Gaza whose lives have been shattered. More than that, though, it now falls on Israelis and Palestinians, with the support of the U.S. and the entire world community, to begin the hard task of rebuilding Gaza and to commit to a process that, by recognizing the common humanity and basic rights of both peoples, can achieve lasting peace. What was interesting about this is at the bottom here, he says common humanity and basic rights of both people. But at the very beginning of his statement, he made it very clear that he didn't even consider the humanity of both people. What really stood out to me about this post here from Barack Obama is that he said suffering for Israeli families and the people of Gaza. And I paused for a second and I was like, huh? Why is it the Israeli families, but when it comes to the Palestinian, the people of Gaza? Palestinians don't have families? And at first I thought maybe it's just me. Then I started to notice other people were calling it out too. Because what Barack Obama did there, as much as he wants to talk about humanity, he also dehumanized the Palestinian people by saying the Israeli families and then saying people of Gaza. Barack Obama was letting you know that the Palestinian people, number one, he was alluding to the fact that they don't have families. And two, notice he just called them the people. He didn't call them Palestinian. He didn't even call them Arab, just the people. So it's a dehumanizing statement. And this isn't the first time that Barack Obama has done that. I don't think it's a mistake. I think Barack Obama is doing this intentionally. Now, a number of people, like I said, were not too happy about this. Even the Middle East Eye, they published it. Ceasefire, Gaza ceasefire. Obama is criticized for both siding genocide. Critics say ex posts by the former U.S. president downplays Palestinian victims of war and ignores decades of Israeli violence, which I will show you he was well aware of in just a second. So we go here. Social media accusers have accused Barack Obama of dehumanizing Palestinians and both siding a genocide. Let's get into some of those posts here. Here's one here from Ian Higgins. Can't help but notice the wording, Israel has families, Gaza just has people. Mm-hmm. Here's another one here, a direct response to Barack Obama. This is one of the most racist posts I'm seeing after the end of a genocide. People of Gaza, no families in Gaza, no hostages from Gaza held for months, no Palestinian hostages who died in Israeli concentration camps, no Palestinian families who Israel wiped out. Yeah, there's more. A graceless, dehumanizing statement. It's a genocide, not a conflict. And Palestinians have families too, some of which were shattered even today. There can never be peace without justice until Israel is held accountable for its crimes. It has no incentive to desist. So, yeah, man, people not happy. People not happy at all. And Barack Obama, again, knows exactly what he's doing. So here you go. You have someone who, Barack Obama, knowing how people dehumanized him when he won the presidential election, he then passes on that dehumanization to another group of people. And Obama turned out to be not who we thought he was going to be. For those of us who did support him, I thought Obama was going to be a big change. He was not a big change. And I remember, even when he first won, I remember people, like, there were pictures of Barack Obama being hung from a tree. I remember all this stuff, all the racist things that were against him. The way how Benjamin Netanyahu wouldn't even acknowledge him the same way he would acknowledge the white presidents who came before him. And Barack Obama, again, decides to take that same type of energy and use it against another group of people. Anything to be a part of the club. Someone else came after him, and that was Miss Rachel. You guys know Miss Rachel. She loves the children. They tried to come after Miss Rachel. The Zionists tried to come after Miss Rachel because she said she loves all the children. Isn't that crazy? Dear President Obama, I saw in your statement you said Israeli families and the people of Gaza. Palestinians have families too. This kind of language contributes to dehumanization. Dehumanization is part of what caused so many to stay silent as 20,000 children were killed in this genocide. I've sat with wonderful Palestinian families from Gaza. They look at their children just like we look at ours, with all love and hope in the world. Now that is from Miss Rachel. The thing is, people are assuming that Barack Obama doesn't realize what he said, but he does realize what he said. That makes it even worse. Barack Obama knows exactly who the Palestinian people are, where they came from, what they've been through. But Barack Obama decided that if he wanted to be a part of electoral politics, he wanted a career, he wanted to be president of the United States, he made a decision a long time ago. And that decision was to ignore the colonialism, to ignore the dehumanization and the displacement of the Palestinian people, join along with AIPAC so that he could have this political career that he wanted. Barack Obama knows this. The same guy who had Rahm Emanuel as one of his advisors. Rahm Emanuel, the same guy that went on to lie about the murder of Laquan McDaniel in Chicago. Barack Obama never corrected what Rahm Emanuel said. Rahm Emanuel, another Zionist, he decided to, let's pull back from focusing on the oppressed people and let me align myself with the people who are doing the oppressing so that I can have a political career. And I want to show you something else. See, a lot of people don't know about this. Did you know that when Obama was coming to Ramallah, there were protests in Ramallah? This was about 12 years ago, or this was posted 12 years ago. People forget this, but people were protesting against him. And I want to show you what they show you some of the signs. Watch this. You see the signs say no hope, and that's because Barack Obama ran on hope and change. And he also said we're going to end the wars in the Middle East. Of course, you know, didn't make that happen. He sided with Israel. Like I said, another one, he said a lot of good things to get elected. But once he got in there, he turned out to be just like the predecessors who came before him, especially when it comes to geopolitics and in the Middle East in particular. Ramallah, that's an important place. There was a statue of Nelson Mandela in Ramallah. Nelson Mandela stood with the Palestinian people. He didn't stand with Israel. Barack Obama knows this. You see, when Barack Obama was in college, at one point, he did stand with those oppressed. He stood with the Palestinian people. He stood with the struggle for the Palestinians. He did not stand with Israel. And this is what I said before about how AIPAC and Kufi, they will get a hold of people like him and say, okay, you want this political career, you know, you're going to have to make a couple of changes. And that's what they do. And you can find this information online. So let's continue watching it here. There's one more I want to show you. This sign here says U.S. funds apartheid. So do you see? That was for Barack Obama's visit. That wasn't for Netanyahu's visit. That wasn't for Donald Trump's visit. That wasn't for Biden's visit. That was for Barack Obama's visit, because he promised all this hope and change. And he turned out to be a joke. A joke. Now, to show you what I mean, because it took me a minute to find this video sometimes can be hard to find. To show you what I mean, that Barack Obama knows exactly what he is doing. Barack Obama on Palestine. So this was years ago. I just want to show you. Listen to this.
Determination. Their right to justice must also be recognized. And put yourself in their shoes. Look at the world through their eyes. It is not fair that a Palestinian child cannot grow up in a state of their own, living their entire lives with the presence of a foreign army that controls the movements, not just of those young people, but their parents, their grandparents.
Pause. Now all of a sudden, Palestinians have families. Do you hear what he said? They control the movements, not just of their families, but their grandparents, their parents. Let's go back to that. This is why I'm telling you, he knew exactly what he was doing.
It is not fair that a Palestinian child cannot grow up in a state of their own, living their entire lives with the presence of a foreign army that controls the movements, not just of those young people, but their parents, their grandparents, every single day.
Pause. So that is Barack Obama acknowledging that Israel controls the movements, which would then make Israel an apartheid state. You know, people act like these videos don't exist.
It's not just when settler violence against Palestinians goes unpunished. It's not right to prevent Palestinians from farming their lands or restricting a student's ability to move around the West Bank or displace Palestinian families from their homes. Neither occupation nor expulsion is the answer. Just as Israelis built a state in their homeland, Palestinians have a right to be a free people in their own land.
Pause. So does everybody see what just happened there? He also admitted that Israel was occupying the people.
I'm going off script here for a second, but before I came here, I met with a group of young Palestinians from the age of 15 to 22. And talking to them, they weren't that different from my daughters. They weren't that different from your daughters or sons. I honestly believe that if any Israeli parent sat down with those kids, they'd say, I want these kids to succeed. I want them to prosper. I want them to have opportunities just like my kids do. I believe that's what Israeli parents would want for these kids if they had a chance to listen to them and talk.
No, they wouldn't. They don't care about those children. Again, they see them all as, what do they say? They're animals. They say, you know, they're savages. That's what Netanyahu likes to use a lot. They wouldn't have that opinion. But what this video shows you is that Barack Obama knew exactly what was happening to the Palestinian people.
Talk to him. I believe that. Now, only you can determine what kind of democracy you will have. But remember that as you make these decisions, you will define not simply the future of your relationship with the Palestinians, you will define the future of Israel as well. As Ariel Sharon said, I'm quoting him, it is impossible to have a Jewish democratic state at the same time to control all of Eretz Israel. If we insist on fulfilling the dream in its entirety, we are liable to lose it all.
And that was the hope that a lot of people had. They thought that, okay, but Barack Obama seems to be more sympathetic about the Palestinian cause than other presidents that came before him. And yeah, it was just all talk. It was all talk. Now here's Barack Obama now. Here is him today talking about democracy. And I just want to play this to prove a point.
Like many of you, I've become increasingly concerned about the rising wave of authoritarianism sweeping the globe. We're seeing politicians target civil society, undermine freedom of the press, weaponize the justice system. And no one is being spared. Even countries that thought they were immune from wholesale assaults on democracy now understand we're all part of this struggle.
There's that word again, democracy. Right?
That's an enormous challenge. But it also means we can learn from each other. I recently sat down with three leaders who are part of the Obama Foundation's alumni network to discuss their work in Hungary and Poland, two countries on the leading edge of confronting autocracy. People like Stefania, Sandor, and Susanna, they give me hope. And it's why a big part of our mission here at the Foundation is to connect, inspire, and empower leaders like them.
What does he mean when he says empower? So do you see this? Barack Obama probably was one of the biggest con games out there for younger people, because a lot of younger people came out to support Barack Obama in 08. Big con game, right? And when all else fails, let's try to draw your attention to another part of the world. Let's try to draw your attention to Poland and Hungary. Last time I checked, Poland's doing just fine. He's kind of leading into the whole Russia thing with this. But last time I checked, they seem to be doing just fine. There are things that people have in Poland that we do not have here. They have universal policies in Poland that we don't have here. So last time I checked, people in Poland seem to be okay. Let me try to turn your attention to this direction so that you're not focused on what is coming. Because you guys know tomorrow is that Gaza, you know, the peace summit, the so-called peace summit that's happening tomorrow in the Middle East. And now it's like, let me see if I can turn people's attention in another direction. None of this changes the fact that he was dehumanizing Palestinians, but it wasn't an accident. And I think this is the part that some people may get wrong. When you stop and think that, oh my gosh, what did he just say? You have to correct this, Obama. You can't say that. He doesn't realize what he just said. You are already playing their game. When you start thinking it was a mistake, you're already playing their game. It is not a mistake. He knows exactly what he's saying. This is not the first time he has done something like this. And he's been corrected multiple times before. So Barack Obama, and this is the sad part. The sad part is when you see people who have already been through this type of dehumanization, which he had, start to use that against other people just so that they can fit in with the club. It's similar situation what we talked about before, what we see in Israel, the Ethiopian, the Zionist Ethiopians, who were also discriminated against, are willing to look down on the Palestinian people so that they can still fit in the Israel club, even though Israel sterilized Ethiopian women against their will. They are willing to overlook that and still dehumanize the Palestinian people because at least they're not those people. You get what I'm saying? At least they're not at the very bottom. So they are willing to play along with the oppressors, with the occupation, because they're like, I'd rather be on this team than to be over there with them, even though they know that it's wrong. That's the sad part. Now, Barack Obama is not Ethiopian, but Barack Obama knows exactly what he's doing. And the reason why so many people are, you know, retweeting him and calling him out and all these things is because, again, people, we're just not going to take it. We're not going to take it. There was a time when Barack Obama was beloved by many people. I think his star has faded. Whether it was him saying black men are the reason for Kamala not doing well and calling out black men and calling out black people in front of the CBC, whether it is the dehumanization of Palestinians, whatever it has been, the star that Barack Obama once had has now faded. And I think even more younger people are starting to see him and all these other neoliberals for what they really are: frauds, war criminals, and honestly, gangsters. They're gangsters in suits. Hey guys, this was a savvy clip. If you like what you saw, hit that like button and subscribe.
That was Savvy Sabs talking about why Obama was getting so much backlash in the past week. And I share this piece because, you know, I am somebody who also voted and had high hopes in 2008 and was immediately betrayed domestically and internationally by Obama. I was talking with somebody from Ohio yesterday, and in their community, their whole community, working class community, actually voted for Obama in 2008 and also felt betrayed, and they switched sides. They switched to the monster that we have now. And so that's the context in which I share this. And I just want you to compare that what's insidious about what Obama's doing now, what's disgusting is the fact that some presidents have actually felt a sense of freedom after leaving office. And so they were able to talk more openly about the crimes of the state and the positions they took and repent. So even Jimmy Carter, who had an awful foreign policy when he left office, and the intoxication of that office, he basically sobered up and started to talk about apartheid in Palestine and visited Palestine. And he was the first one to write like a best-selling book about apartheid, that Israel is an apartheid state, and to use that word that widely. So here we have a white farmer, a peanut farmer from Georgia, you know, being freed up to tell the truth. And here we have a black president who refuses to tell the truth, who's skewing it, who's gaslighting us, who was sent during the Kamala Harris to talk with people in Detroit in a disastrous way. He talked down to them in a racist way. And this is somebody, like Sabi pointed out, this is somebody that used to have amazing politics as a senator, in the sense that I could show you pictures of him sitting down with Edward Said, the most prominent of thinkers among the Palestinian intelligentsia. He would sit there with Ali Abu Nima have dinner with them. So he knew what Orientalism is inside out. And what did he do during his presidency? He talked about American exceptionalism, and then he gave lip service to the Palestinians, and but his deeds, he didn't walk the walk. His deeds were the opposite. He actually increased supplying weapons during the times that Israel was what they call mowing the grass, meaning killing Palestinians in the first part of the 21st century, and under his rule, basically. So that's where we stand right now. It's amazing that this hasn't freed him. He still is in the hand of white billionaires that are Israel first. And that's why he wants you to be distracted from one of the biggest crimes of the century, the genocide of Gaza. And we'll end the show there. will go out with Dana Saleh singing a song.
يا طالع عين عين للجبل يا مول للمقيدين النار بين لليمان يا مان عين للهنا يا روح ما بدي منك لكم خلعة ولا لا 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 بدي زنار بين لليمان يا مان عين للهنا يا روح إلا غزال
For WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Wednesday, October 15th. Here are some headlines. The Supreme Court appeared poised today to limit the use of the Voting Rights Act. The court heard arguments on a core provision of the act that's designed to protect racial minorities. The case, a challenge to Louisiana's congressional map, is a battle over whether states can use race as a factor in drawing electoral districts, but it could have much broader implications. Lawyers for Louisiana and the Trump administration tried to persuade the judges to wipe away the state's second majority black congressional district and make it much harder, if not impossible, to take account of race in redistricting. If the justices decide that lawmakers cannot consider race in drafting maps, redistricting could follow. Those changes could allow Republican state legislatures to eliminate at least a dozen Democrat-held House districts across the South. In more news, the Senate today took a ninth procedural vote on advancing the House-passed GOP funding bill to end the shutdown. The eighth vote failed to reach the 60 votes needed to advance yesterday, and today was no different. Republicans are refusing to negotiate with Democrats over health insurance tax credits that they are seeking to extend. The White House Office of Management and Budget said in a social media post it was preparing for more layoffs. Meanwhile, a federal judge in San Francisco will weigh whether to temporarily halt the latest wave of layoffs by the Trump administration. U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston will hear preliminary arguments today in a case brought by the American Federation of Government Employees and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, which together represent more than 800,000 federal workers. The unions accuse the Trump administration of using hard-working Americans as pawns in a political game. In more news, Israel today kept closed a crucial border crossing from Egypt to Gaza and cut in half the amount of aid allowed to enter in retaliation for what it says are delays in the handover of bodies of dead hostages by Hamas. The handover of bodies is central to the U.S. brokered ceasefire. 21 bodies of hostages remain in Gaza, though some may be hard to find or recover because of destruction during the conflict. The deal also requires Israel to return the bodies of 360 Palestinians. The first group of 45 was handed over yesterday, and the bodies were being identified, said Palestinian health authorities. And the World Meteorological Organization said in its latest bulletin on greenhouse gases that CO2 growth rates have now tripled since the 1960s. The report said emissions from burning coal, oil, and gas, alongside more wildfires, have helped fan what it called a vicious climate cycle. And said people in industries continue to spew heat-trapping gases while the planet's oceans and forests lose their ability to absorb them. The report said the increase in the global average concentration of carbon dioxide from 2023 to 2024 amounted to the highest annual level of any one-year span since measurements began in 1957. For WPFW News in